Hello, everybody, and welcome to Web and Beyond Live for May 11th, 2022. Of course, I'm Ray Sidney Smith. I'm president of W3 Consulting and managing director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, domain name registration services, and other web-related services for small business. Web and Beyond Live is our weekly show talking about topical and timely small business digital marketing and related issues. So whether you're watching live with me or you're listening to the replay or watching the replay, feel free to ask questions. You can go ahead and use that the chat or the comment section. You can also tweet at me at W3 Consulting, and I'll do my best to answer you via Twitter as well, because you know that I am a Twitter fan. Hopefully you all enjoyed a National Small Business Week last week. We're still within the National Small Business Month kind of umbrella, so a happy National Small Business Month to everybody. I've got some small business digital marketing news this week. We're going to talk a little bit about Google and Microsoft and Amazon and a couple of other little details that I wanted to share with you all this week. So let's get into the news this week. First, starting off with Google. Google has gone ahead and decided to launch a CDN to kind of stay competitive with the rest of the market. And so they have launched Media CDN. Media CDN is an ability for you to do what's called content delivery. And content delivery is a mechanism in a CDN, or what they call content delivery network. What they're doing is they're giving you the ability now, if you host, say, your website or other kinds of details on Google, and even if you don't, you can also utilize the Media CDN within Google Cloud to make sure that your website's download really quickly near the person who is visiting your website. So say that I am in Dallas, Texas, and you're in New York City, your hosting service may have a server, say, in Ashburn, Virginia. And so, you know, especially if you're AWS using EC2. And so that server sitting in Ashburn, well, you can actually have your website copied and in the background, nobody knows the difference, in, say, Dallas-Fort Worth. So there's a server sitting in Dallas-Fort Worth or wherever, and closer to that person, when I go to visit your site, I'm sitting in Dallas, it's going to load the content from that local server, the nearest server to me, which means that it's faster. So that's what a CDN is, and Google is now providing this capability for you to be able to do that. There are plenty of other providers out there that do this kind of thing. Like, for example, W3C Web Services, if you host a WordPress site with us, we have a built-in CDN to be able to provide that service directly in the background. It's just a toggle. You turn it on and it's up and running. But you may want to have an independent third party do that kind of CDN. And here, Google Media CDN is now available to you to do that. So just good to have options. Next up is Microsoft has added a remarketing feature, and I wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. So Microsoft Advertising, if you don't know, allows you to be able to advertise on Bing and other places. And so Microsoft Advertising is similar to Google Ads. And so what they're doing is they're rolling out a bunch of features, but the most important one that I wanted to bring to your attention was the auto-generated remarketing lists. So in essence, remarketing is the idea that if I visit a website about, say, Volkswagens, I go to that website, I visit that website about Volkswagens, I'm interested in, you know, the reviews of several, models of Volkswagen, and now I leave that website. Well, in the background, Microsoft and Google and the others have collected a little bit of data about me that knows that I visited that website. It's embedded in the browser. And so that data is sitting in the browser. Microsoft and Google and others pick up that data and they say, oh, look, this person is interested in Volkswagen models and they may be looking for a car. Now, what will happen is if you have remarketing turned on in Google Ads or Microsoft Advertising or other advertising platforms, it can now take that data and show me ads for Volkswagens or other things related to Volkswagen, say that you sell, Volkswagen trims or you sell Volkswagen tires. Well, now you can go ahead and show ads to those people who have visited something that clues you in that they're interested in Volkswagen model vehicles. Well, Microsoft is trying to make it easier for those of you who have never done remarketing before. By being able to do this, you're now able to show ads to people who have visited your website and now have left. But now you can show them More ads for your products or services on other websites that are displaying Microsoft ads or Google ads or otherwise, right? So Microsoft's giving you that capability here with remarketing lists. And so if you want to optimize your remarketing on Microsoft advertising, kind of look at this and figure it out. So if you're in Microsoft advertising, you should start to see these remarketing features show up in the dashboard. Next up is just a discussion about Netflix is considering, and other platforms are as well, are considering putting ads in their streaming services. Now, Hulu has been doing this for years, and I still recommend it as being a really, really powerful option for small business owners. I think the buy-in is like $500 and then USD, and then you're capable of putting ads in markets directly to people who are watching Hulu shows. And Hulu typically has television shows that people are watching in real time and are trying to keep up to date with. So keeping up with the, you know, Real Housewives and all those other things, but also some other series, some serious dramas that are being shown on Hulu. And so I think it's, you know, while I don't like the idea of Netflix or Disney Plus or any other services that I have start putting ads in my shows, from a business perspective, it makes a lot of sense for you that if they do bring ads to the platform, that you consider utilizing the platform to put ads. Because think about it, if you have a very high concentration of people who are using these services in your area, that's Netflix, Disney, and quite honestly, you can already do this with YouTube TV, and YouTube TV has a pretty good membership, penetration in a lot of markets. So start looking at where are YouTube TV users, and are they near you? Look at the Netflix users and see whether they're near you. Disney Plus, same thing. Hulu, same thing. And now you can geotarget those people and run ads for your business in those areas. So say if you have a window cleaning service, a residential window cleaning service, you can put ads into Hulu right now or YouTube TV right now and push ads to those folks that are video ads that are just like a television ad that you would see, but now they're being displayed in and on people's phones, laptops, and television screens. So it's really all of the services being able to show them those kinds of ads so that you can let them know about your company and how they exist. We'll see whether or not Netflix and Disney and the others, considering this, go ahead and increase their ad models as a part of their business model altogether. Again, as a consumer, not so excited about it. As a business owner, this is a great opportunity, and we need to be able to think about how we're going to utilize this. So we should start thinking about it. And quite honestly, we're already capable of doing it, as I said, on YouTube TV, Hulu, and other platforms. So, if you haven't yet dipped your toe in that water, start thinking about how you're going to. All right, next up is Amazon has recently put in the Kindle EPUB support for their Kindle devices. And I'm going to move away from this silly image of Jeff Bezos. But the idea here is that Amazon bought a company back in 2005 and launched the Mobi support, which is .Mobi files for being able to put those ebooks or other kinds of digital materials into the Amazon Kindle platform or the KDP. For Kindle Direct Publishing. So you were also able as a consumer to be able to send a document to Kindle so that you could read your own document. Say you had a PDF and you wanted to be able to put it on Kindle. Well, you would just basically forward it to an email address that was like, your name at Kindle.com, and you can find that information inside of your Amazon account under the Kindle section, and you'd be able to just forward that content in there. Well, up until now, there was several formats supported, Mobi being the primary one that Amazon kind of pushed you to because it was Amazon's own format that they purchased. And then they went to the AZW format, and now they're at AZW3. So that file format is that their preferred, but now they are supporting EPUB. So if you are planning to or have in the past published a book to your, published a book, whether that be on Amazon or any other platform, if you were selling off of Amazon, it was really difficult to get people who were Amazon Kindle users to buy your book off of Amazon because it was very difficult for them to get that format onto the Amazon Kindle. Like, I am primarily a Kindle user, and I have several Kindles sitting around me all the time. And if I go to an author's website, it's kind of a hurdle. You know, you have to jump through, you have to find a tool to be able to, transform that, .epub file into the Mobi, and then do that. And I'm technically savvy to do that. Most people are not. So now you can actually self-publish, not publish on Amazon at all, and have a format, the EPUB, that could be, you know, widely used in many different, digital e-readers. And if someone has an Amazon account, all you have to do is explain to them, hey, all you need to do is just forward this along to your Amazon Kindle, and you'll be able to read it inside of it. So you don't need to purchase it through Amazon anymore. You can now do that through the EPUB. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't be on Kindle? No. I mean, Kindle is now the dominant. They're the juggernaut in this space. But if you really want to avoid Amazon, but still support people who want to read on Amazon, you now have an option. You have a really good option for being able to do that by being able to publish EPUB and across the board, not having to now worry about having 15 different formats. You can have this one format, and most devices are going to be able to support it. So I think that's, but I'm glad that Amazon has finally gotten to this point where they're supporting those formats. And so there we go. All right. Next up is that the European Union are kind of going after big tech. And you can see here now that Amazon could be forced to support Google Pay and Samsung Pay as a part of their NFC payment protocol within Apple Pay. I think this is wonderful and about time. And so, you know, many years ago, I had an iPhone, and of course, all of you probably know that I'm a Google Small Business Advisor, and I love the ability for me to be able to have what Apple users have, which is across all of my devices. You know, I have Macs, and I have PCs, and I have Chromebooks, and I have Android devices and iPads, and I want to be able to use all of my Google products across all of them within Google Workspace, as well as my personal Google account. And I think most people who are in the Google ecosystem want the same. Well, Apple, when I had my old iPhone, I used all Google products on my Apple device. But of course, as you know, time has gone on. I mean, that was back in maybe 2011, all right? And now, being able to use Google Pay on an iPhone would be phenomenal. You know, I would love the hardware. I don't mind the iPhone as hardware, but I want to be able to use my Google products on them. So this concept of being able to force big tech, and this is across the board, you know, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Samsung, Lenovo, you name the OEMs, forcing them to be interoperable with the other platforms now makes them have to play on a level playing field. And that allows you the ability to have portability and, use another platform and have that level of cross-platform, extensibility that I think we all want. They're just doing it for their own, carving out their slice of the pie and staying in control. And that's not consumer focused and not particularly useful. So I'm really paying close attention to this, and I will continue to let you all know what I find out about this. But if we're able to then extend things like Google Pay to other devices, now your website can just support Google Pay for e-commerce purposes, and then you have to worry about supporting 15 other different payment protocols, right? You can have Stripe and Google Pay, and then people can pay on mobile, they can pay on desktop, and it's seamless for the user to be able to do that. And that's not something that Apple Pay has today. And so, Kindle, Amazon, has kind of an Amazon Pay concept, but that's still not fluid. Google Pay is really the one that has really gotten a strong sense of payment protocol that I really enjoy using. It makes a lot of sense. And paired with Stripe or PayPal, you can have a really seamless desktop and mobile payment experience. And I would really like to see, us not having to worry about those kinds of things as we make our way forward with that. All right, onward. To our next story. And our next story this week is just my ongoing and general warnings to everybody about cybersecurity. And in this case, a college in Illinois, Lincoln College, is basically shutting down completely. They're not just closing their doors for temporary purposes. They're literally shutting down because a ransomware attack crippled them for several weeks, and it just then ballooned into several months. And because of that, and because of recruitment, and because of the pandemic, they had like record recruitment or record enrollment even during 2019. But because of the pandemic and other things happening, they ended up deciding that they just had to shut down completely. And this is a college. And so that's going to be really unfortunate for the students who had degrees from those colleges. You know, they'll probably have to be transferred to another college or something like that for purposes of validity. But as a business, I just cannot impress upon you enough to look at how to protect yourself from ransomware. So much of your marketing, so much of your operations are happening here on the online, right? You know, I'm talking to you here online. I'm talking to you through you know, the podcast, if you're listening to the podcast. All of this is happening because of internet infrastructure, and you need to be able to protect yourself. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me and let me know, and I can put you in touch with the right folks and the right resources to be able to get yourself up and running. But ransomware protection is now an absolute must. That may even include insurance. There are different insurances you can get, and you know, to be able to protect your business. All right, next up is a little bit more Apple news, and then I think we're going to wrap up. But the interesting piece here is that Apple has decided to retire the iPod. And if you don't know, the iPod is where the name comes from for podcasts. And so if you're listening to the podcast, you're listening to, you know, this is the namesake for why, you know, podcasts are called podcasts. The iPod. Oh, and the Apple Podcasts concept back then, it was iTunes, allowed for the proliferation of podcasts in its early days back in 2005 or so. And so now here we have the iPod Touch going away. And I actually heard a rumor that Apple, during their Worldwide Developer Conference, was going to actually announce a new iPod Touch. And so I got really excited because I actually really like the iPod Touch concept. So we'll see, you know, what that's going to happen there. But the retirement of the iPod is really unfortunate, because I think it's a really nice device for those of us who don't want an iPhone but still want, you know, perhaps some of the apps on the Apple ecosystem. You know, I do that really on my iPad today, but it would be really nice to have the same form factor of the iPhone with an iPod Touch. So just be mindful of the fact that the Apple iPod is being retired, and that'll be the end of that. And so with that, we have reached the end of our stories for this week. And so we are going to wrap up, and I'm trying to find my notes, which just disappeared on me because of an Apple device. All right. So as I said, we've come to the end of our time together today. If you've enjoyed the show, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. That just helps us make new small business friends. And so thank you for doing that. If you have a question, feel free to throw those into the comments, and I'll look at them afterward. Or you can tweet at me at W3 Consulting on Twitter. I'm always on there, so you can always find me there. And then, of course, you can join us weekly for Web and Beyond Live. We typically do 11 a.m. Eastern on Mondays, but just depending upon schedule, you know, you'll see it move around. But I'll note that on the social channels, and you'll see it posted on our social profiles as well. But I wanted to thank you so much for joining me here for Web and Beyond Live. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing and managing on the Web and Beyond.